Thank you, Seth. So now, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe. Observe them diligently. Take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your mind. Make them known to your children and your children's children. We've just done an exercise. An exercise that is pointed out in each of the lessons for this Sunday. We have just attempted to illustrate the distinction between tradition and traditionalism. Or, if you prefer, the commandments of God and human custom. In the Gospel of Mark, we seem to be eavesdropping on a discussion between the Pharisees and Jesus about the attitude of the heart and ritualism. Ritual is important. You've just had an example of it. But if followed too slavishly, can interfere with God's intent. The Pharisees are concerned that Jesus' disciples are disregarding religious customs, particularly as they apply to the ritual cleansing of vessels and liturgical preparation. Here's another example. Think of the lavabo, that act which the priest does immediately before beginning the canon of the Mass, the washing, the ritual washing of the hands. The disciples did not wash their hands before eating. Jesus is well aware of the law of Moses, as well as the somewhat rigid traditions of the religious system, and so points out to the Pharisees a reality of what is important. And what is important is not that which is outside a person, soiled hands, but that which is within, inappropriate thoughts, evil intentions of the heart. Jesus calls his followers not to be so concerned with external practices that justice and mercy are ignored, but concern themselves with internalizing the message of the gospel. And Jesus' discussion essentially echoes the lesson from the book of Deuteronomy, where the prophet Moses draws a distinction between the commandments of God and human traditions. The commandment of the Old Testament, you might like to know, was not created out of whole cloth. The Ten Commandments and the commandments and the law of Moses have their antecedents in an ancient Babylonian code, called the Code of Hammurabi. The Hebrews drew on this code when they created the Torah, the law of Moses. The point of Deuteronomy is that human traditions are ever changing, whereas the precepts of God never change. It is these that must be carried forward and taught from generation to generation. So, how does this work itself out? Well, every profession has its stories. It's some true, some apocryphal, that help illustrate life's challenges. One of my favorite clergy stories is about a monk and the monastery cat. For those who have heard it before, I crave your indulgence. Every good story, it is said, is worth repeating, and this is a good story, and it's worth repeating. But for those who have not heard it, sit back, relax, close your eyes. Here it is, the story of the monk and the monastery cat. There was once a monk in a monastery who was venerated by his fellow monks for his deep piety. Everyone, from the abbot downwards, would seek spiritual guidance from this sage old cleric. In addition to the usual monastic offices that all the brothers were required to attend, at a certain time each day, this wise monk would go to the chapel alone to pray. Now, the monastery had a cat. Not unusual. The monastery that I go to has two cats. I won't tell you their names. They're unrepeatable. Now, this cat, sensing the holiness of this cleric, when he went into the chapel to pray, would slide in and wrap himself around the monk's legs as cats will. It worried the brothers that the monastery cat might disturb the cleric at his private prayers. So the abbot instructed the brothers to appoint a novice, a junior brother, to tie up the cat whenever the wise monk went into the chapel to pray. So each day the novice would watch for the monk, and as he entered the chapel, intercept the cat as it followed, and tie it up until the monk's prayers were over. So it happened. Day after day, week after week, month after month, as the years rolled by, until one day, the cat died. The cleric continued in his daily custom of prayer, and in time the monastery got another cat, which, whenever the wise monk went to his prayers, the novice appointed would tie it up. Eventually, the wise monk died. And some time later, the brothers created a liturgy for tying up the cat. The purpose of the story is to point out the distinction between tradition and traditionalism. One of the great theologians of the modern church, Yaroslav Pelikan, suggested that tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. In the story of the monk and the monastery cat, tradition is exemplified by the wise cleric, who in the traditions of the church prayed continually and offered counsel to his brothers. Traditionalism is exemplified by the abbot and the brothers who traditionalized a practical act, the tying up of a cat. Think about altar candles. Now, we should not be too harsh. Ritual is important. Liturgy is ritual. Ritual makes clear and helps liturgy do its job. And after all, the story of the monastery cat and the monk is a story. We can sympathize with the brothers whose sincere desire was to protect the wise monk from being disturbed at his prayers. But how much better it might have been if, when memorializing the event, they had thought more about the prayerful traditions of the church as an attitude of the heart than tying up the cat as a human ritual. So where do we go with all of this? As I observed last Sunday when commenting on Joshua's injunction to the tribes of Israel, "Choose this day whom you will serve," it is not easy to follow the precepts of God in our lives. So easily it can become distorted. We concentrate on the wrong things. For example, I once heard a sermon preached from this pulpit where the preacher suggested that when giving to the poor, it was always best to demand they do something in return, so as to allow them to maintain their dignity. an admirable sentiment, to be sure, but it's not biblical. To God, every human being has dignity. It reflects rather more the traditions and customs of society, not the precepts of God. And sadly, it is often to the traditions and customs of society that the church often leans. As the writer of the letter to James makes clear, or the letter of James makes clear, every generous act of giving is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And we might add, no conditions. So we should not be adding them either when giving to the poor. The letter of James provides instructions on how we as Christians are to live out our faith. He writes, "Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves." In the context of my story of the monastery cat, we might follow the wise monk in devoting some time in our day for prayer, rather than fretting over that which might disturb it. And be doers of the word. Give unconditionally, without strings, without question. For every gift we receive is from God, unconditional, freely given. And finally, to follow the advice of Deuteronomy, give heed to the statutes and ordinances. Observe them diligently. Take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your mind. Make known to your children and your children's children. And there is a sermon in and of itself, which will have to wait for another time. Amen.